Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
His heart is enough. He's got trouble. He's done. He's done. He's out cold. That is it from the knee, the left hand. And just like that, Patricky Pitbull is through to the final. Oh, good left hand. The end is there. And that is it. Just like that. Game, set, match, Hector Lombard.
Oh! Absolutely! Oh, he's out! And it is all over! Carlos Condit! Nelson Dan Hardy!
Oh my goodness! Did you see that? He ran off the wall like a ninja and landed a high kick. Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that.
Welcome into the Devil's Cage, Episode 4. I'm Blaine Ferguson, joined by Ryan Bafalukas. Ryan, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
I was going to say I'm glad to be here, but you didn't really throw it to me. I thought you were going to say, how are you?
Well,
I was
going to say I'm glad to be here. That'll teach you to never assume.
Yeah. Can't assume anymore. How's the mic, by the way?
The mic sounds good. The mic is not falling on
yes,
me anymore.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, it looks correctly constructed this week. Anyways, for listeners, in almost an hour, it is Ryan Bafalukas' 19th birthday. Ryan, how do you feel?
You know what? I feel like I'm absolutely nothing has changed. Actually,
that's exactly what happened.
Nothing's really changing. I can serve liquor now in the state of Arizona, so I can be now a waiter and serve alcohol, I guess.
There you go. Big moves. Okay, if you can sum up the last 1 year of your life in one word, what would that word be?
Journalism.
Great. Love it.
Well, just because I've done so much stuff with journalism over the past year.
That's a good one. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and start the show with the opening round.
Let's get this road on the show.
We're going to start it with the opening round, your weekend recap of The Ultimate Fighter and Bellator and any other fights. Maybe a little bit of UFC 145 in a little bit.
Yeah, I think we'll get to that.
Yeah, it's kind of a big event. All right, but I want to go ahead and start with The Ultimate Fighter, get the small stuff out of the way. But then there's also a big Bellator fight that we need to talk about, but go ahead and start with Tough.
Yeah, Team Cruz gets the win as Vic Pachil defeats John Culper via arm triangle choke in the third round. It was a draw after two, went to a third round. Vic Pachil got the fight to the ground and ended the fight pretty impressively over John Culper.
It was an impressive finish. I got to see the finish, and both guys brought it that fight. Both guys looked impressive. The team favor, he just looked out of it in that third round. The submission, it seemed to come pretty easily.
Yeah.
But both guys brought it, and both guys should be proud of their performances.
Yeah, so The Ultimate Fighter continues every Friday night on FX and over to Bellator. Bellator 66 from the IX Center in Cleveland, Ohio. Probably the biggest Bellator card of the year in terms of just the main event. And we'll start with the main card. Brent Weidman defeated Thiago Michael by split decision to advance to the lightweight tournament final, where he will face Rick Hahn, who knocked out Lloyd Woodard at the 10-second mark of round number two.
Lloyd Woodard got dropped.
Cupcake is out.
Yep. The guy who beat Patricky Pitbull, a lot of people thought Patricky was the favorite in this tournament coming in. Lloyd Woodard gets the upset and then gets knocked out.
It's interesting how you have two of the former Bellator welterweight tournament participants now in the finals of the lightweight.
Yeah.
Both these guys, Weidman and Rick Hahn, were in the season 5 welterweight tournament with Jay Haran ended up winning. Jay Haran beat Rick Hahn in the finals. And so now these guys will fight for a chance to fight Michael Chandler in Michael Chandler's first title defense, which will come in the fall of 2012. The middleweight semifinals, Mikhail Falco won his fight over some Russian fighter that I have no idea how to say his name.
Who cares?
I think it's Vachislav.
No, it doesn't matter. Yep. His name does not even matter.
Unanimous decision, and Andreas Sprang knocked out Brian Rogers at the 3:34 mark of the second round. So it'll be Falco versus Sprang in the middleweight for a chance to potentially see if they'll fight Hector Lombard.
Potentially. Hector Lombard's a free agent.
Hector Lombard is a free agent. And
essentially a restricted free agent, though, because Bellator has the right to match any offer.
Yeah, and I guess this can kind of go hand in hand with the opening round. We'll kind of, you know, deviate here. Hector Lombard was offered a contract by the UFC. Bellator
They don't have championship clauses in Bellator, but they do have the right to match any offer.
So Bjorn Rebney said that it's like a 66-page contract, so they're going to look over it.
He was waiting for this weekend's event to take place, and he's going to look over.
So we'll kind of keep you updated on that.
I assume we'll know within the week where he's going.
Yeah, if the UFC offered him an absurd amount of money, I just don't think Bellator can't match it.
No, and Bellator doesn't need to match it.
No,
they need to build up more guys. And
Bellator has done a pretty good job building from within with Michael Chandler, Ben Askren, Patricky Pitbull. Their new bantamweight champion.
I don't think they should. I don't think they should spend all this money. It's kind of like the Albert Pujols deal. Yeah. It's like how confident are you in your less known guys? Or do you think you need to spend all this money on the top guy?
Don't lie. You just want to see Hector Lombard in the UFC.
I would love to see Hector Lombard in the UFC. I'm a self-proclaimed Hector Lombard fan.
You are.
Even though I think he fights lesser opponents, I think he brings.
He's exciting.
I think he brings every single fight.
I think he'd be very intriguing in the UFC's middleweight division, which is, you know, kind of lacking some depth a little bit.
Exactly.
So, and in the main event of the evening, Eddie Alvarez gets his revenge over Shinyu Aoki. If a TKO knockout at the 2:14 mark of the very first round. Eddie Alvarez looked very good in this fight.
Oh, yeah. Alvarez looked impressive. Alvarez looked like he's wanting to send a message to Bjorn or the UFC. And afterwards, the first words out of his mouth were, "Show me the money."
Mm-hmm.
And so Rebney needs to either pay up or see Alvarez. I could see the UFC. Man, they already have a stacked UFC lightweight division.
Can you imagine Eddie Alvarez and or Gilbert Melendez in that lightweight division?
Oh my God. That's what awesome. We need a lightweight Grand Prix.
You've been calling
in the
for
UFC.
The lightweight Grand Prix
the
for
lightweight
a while.
Grand Prix would be unbelievably epic in the UFC. You and I have talked about this many times. Why they should have the UFC lightweight Grand Prix? It's the most stacked weight division in the entire mixed martial arts.
Yeah. Oh, it's so deep.
You put Melendez and Alvarez in there. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Benson Henderson's the champion. Frankie Edgar's gonna
get
his rematch.
Remember when you and I last semester, you and I drew up that tournament?
Yeah.
Who did I pick as winning the lightweight Grand Prix?
I don't know.
Benson Henderson.
Oh, you did.
Yep, Benson Henderson.
I think I picked Melendez.
Yeah, you did. You did. You picked Melendez. Anyways, yeah, Alvarez looked fantastic. Shinya, I don't know what was wrong with him. He didn't look like he kind of went for a weak takedown.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really look to try to get things. Maybe, I mean, I guess you can say he tried to get things to the ground. Not very well, not effectively at all.
Yeah.
And ended up getting caught from Alvarez. And Alvarez, man, he finished him.
All right, so that was Bellator, the Ultimate Fighter. For the first time in about, 2 months, the UFC had a major pay-per-view event.
Huge
gap. And it was UFC 145. John Bones Jones successfully defends his light heavyweight championship against Sugar Rashad Evans. Jones defeats Evans by unanimous decision, 49-46, 49-46, and 50-45, in a fight that was kind of disappointing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you could clearly see that Jones was better than Evans that night.
Yeah.
Jones didn't put him away. He still looked incredibly impressive. Awkward at a couple times in the stand-up. I guess he said he was intimidated and felt awkward a couple times, which is understandable. Every fighter has a night where they come in awkward. Evans was able to get in a couple punches in there.
Jones said that Evans wobbled him once, I think once or twice, but I think Jones was never in real trouble during the
no.
fight.
No. So Evans's chin looked fantastic.
He got
knocked down a couple times and he recovered well. So I mean, Evans will be back. Evans will work his way back. Inevitable.
I think Evans was a little too hesitant. I think when you're the challenger, you need to go in there and take the belt from the champion.
Especially when you only have two rounds left and you know you're down.
Kind of like what we saw from Benson Henderson, go in there and really be aggressive and
you got to bring
the
fight to him. Yeah, absolutely.
And especially it was disappointing for me just because of all the smack that Evans came in and saying,
"Yeah,
I want to change his life. Beating John Jones is more important than taking the title," and he just didn't back it up.
Well, that happens a lot of times. Rarely do you see a fight live up to this kind of hype. Like, only in the Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva fight can I remember in a long time has a fight lived up to all the hype. And I mean, Sonnen and Silva surpassed the hype. No one could have believed the fight would have been that amazing. But other results from the card: Mark Bocek defeats John Alessio by unanimous decision. Mark Hominick loses to Eddie Yagan by split decision. It was hard to watch. Hominick brought it, but so did Yagan. And man, Hominick was tagging him in the third round.
Yeah, both guys were bloodied, and really their faces
Yagan looked like he'd been through a five-round war after that.
That fight won fight of the night.
And it deserved it. It deserved that $65,000. Miguel Torres got knocked out by your boy,
Michael McDonald, the future bantamweight champion of the world.
At 3 minutes and 18 seconds of the very first round, Brendan Schaub got knocked out by Ben Rothwell.
And that was something that neither of us saw coming. We both picked Schaub.
Well, I knew it. I was like, man, someone's going to get knocked out in this fight. At the weigh-ins, I was telling you, there's no way this fight's not going to end with a knockout. And Schaub hit Rothwell with a couple big shots, had him backing up, and Rothwell, I think it was a right, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think it was a right hook. I think that kind of
snuck in and dropped Schaub, and Rothwell was able to finish.
We see that a lot with heavyweight fights. I kind of just noticed this, that one guy will land something, stagger the other guy, and then when he's going in, he gets caught.
Yeah,
I think that was with the Czech Congo, Pat Barry fight.
And then I guess the Nogueira Mir. I mean, Nogueira had Mir hurt, and then Mir ended up snapping his arm, so... Yeah. A weird trend starting to come out in the heavyweight division.
And our boy, I think we will fight this guy, Rory McDonald.
Well, actually, you picked Che Mills.
I did pick Che Mills.
I'm not going to let you live that down.
I will fully disclaimer, I went 1-5 on this main card. I had a very good preliminary card. I went 4-2 on the preliminary card. Went 1-5 on this main card. It was not my night.
And I happened to go 4-2.
You went 4-2. I picked a lot of upsets, though. Yeah. I went with something like, I picked Alessio, I picked Evans, and I picked Mills.
Bocek looked impressive, though, in that fight. Bocek looked really good. Yeah. Rory McDonald absolutely dominated every second of the fight against Che Mills. Mm-hmm. The referee stopped it at 2 minutes and 20 seconds of the second round. And then Jones, as said before, defeated Rashad by unanimous decision.
I think Rory McDonald was the most impressive fighter on that card.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Man, he looked
amazing. He got Che Mills to the ground in round one, teed off on him. Che Mills' face literally had it was cut. It was bloody. I believe he had swelling under his right eye. He just looked terrible. Rory McDonald didn't look touched. Rory McDonald looks like he can fight tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a little minute-long clip of a little post-fight interview brought to you from the UFC on Rory McDonald. We're going to go ahead and start that up, cue that up.
TKO!
I was nervous going into this fight because, I put a lot of pressure on myself. The media wasn't giving much respect to my opponent, which can always make you look bad if you lose. So I tried to put it out of my head, but, I came out, I won the fight. I made some mistakes, but, it's kind of a blessing every time when you make mistakes and win because you can learn from them and still have the victory. There's, technical errors that can be fixed if you want. Like, I strive to be the perfect fighter, in my opinion, I shouldn't be able to get hit, touched, anything, The fight should end like that, exactly how I want it to. So until that happens, I'll never be happy. I just stayed on him. I knew he was hurt from the first round, ground and pound. Whenever I hit someone on the ground, full power like that, I know that's going to, the fight's pretty much over. But he was very tough, hard to put away. It took longer than I expected after I landed those shots in guard, but... I just stayed on it. I was in good shape, so finished the fight. I just want to stay busy. I need to stay injury free. I need to train properly, stay focused, sharp, and continue to grow as a fighter. I plan on doing at least 3 fights a year. That would make me happy.
Man, he is one of the most confident fighters I've ever heard.
Yeah, once again, that was Rory McDonald, UFC welterweight.
The thing I like about him is that he knows how impressive he is, but that he doesn't let the hype get to him. He continues to train effectively and dominate fights.
Knockout of the night went to Ben Rothwell for his knockout over Brendan Schaub, and submission of the night went to Travis Brown.
Well deserved.
Yeah, it was the only submission of the night, but it probably wouldn't have gone submission anyway. Very impressive performance by Travis Brown. Each of those bonuses were $65,000.
So I want
to talk about, though, your boy, Stephen Thompson, very lackluster performance.
Disappointing fight.
Matt Brown beats Stephen Thompson by unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-27, and 29-28.
Yeah, disappointing fight.
Stephen Thompson just couldn't get anything going. I think he relies. I mean, I understand he's a great kickboxer. He's got that huge kickboxing pedigree. I think he's very one-sided right now, almost kind of like still, Anthony Pettis was.
Yeah, he's still really young though. Yeah. And so
I mean, he only has this was the seventh fight. In mixed martial arts,
he's continuing to develop, and he just fought at UFC 143. So you can maybe say, I don't know, maybe a little bit of fatigue had a. Because he did look to be fatigued in those later rounds, even though it seemed like he was connecting at will when he did keep the fight standing.
Yeah.
When he had the fight standing, he was landing his shots.
Yeah, Brown, there would have times where Stephen Thompson would swing and miss three or four times in a row, and then there would be times when Matt Brown just walks right in, just straight up, no head movement.
Gets four or five jabs in a row.
Yeah, just walks right in and Thompson nails him. It almost, to me, felt like when Matt Brown didn't want to be hit, he wasn't hit. And when Matt Brown was lazy, he got hit.
Yeah.
So I guess you can say Matt Brown's got a pretty good chin, but
I look for Thompson. Thompson's going to rebound, though. I think he stays. Yeah. I think he keeps on developing, and I think you give him another. I mean, kind of a lower tier guy, but keep on trying to build him up because you need some depth in the welterweight division, and he can bring that depth.
All right. So do you want to move on to our next segment?
Would that be The Trouble of Being Joe Silva?
The Trouble of Being Joe Silva, as we play matchmaker here.
Fantasy matchmaker.
The Devil's Cage, fantasy matchmaker. We're going to give you who we think should be next for the stars
of
UFC.
What do you think? We take about three fighters?
145. Yeah. So obviously, for those of you who didn't know, John Jones will face Dan Henderson next.
That's already done.
Dana White announced that at the post-fight press conference. Do you want to start with Rashad?
Yeah, but before we do say Rashad, I want to tell you that I've convinced myself today that I think the only person that can beat Jones in the 205 division is Alexander Gustafsson.
Really? Yeah, you're very high on Gustafsson.
I think Gustafsson is incredible. I think it was 6'5", and his striking abilities, I don't think Jones will be able to bully him like Jones kind of did against Rashad. You know those little shoulder things that Jones is doing? I don't think he'd be able to do that against Gustafsson.
No, and that's why I really don't like Dan Henderson's chances.
Dan Henderson has rocky chances.
I understand that. Yeah. He's got a puncher's chance, literally. Yeah. He needs to hope to
land
a big shot.
If there's one person that you should never bet against, it's Dan Henderson.
Oh, yeah. No, Dan Henderson's one of the best fighters of all time.
He's an MMA legend. Former MMA Sun Devil, by the way.
Former Sun Devil. Arizona State wrestler.
Yeah, so, we got to be pulling for the Sun Devil.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see him. Where do you think that fight – when do you think that fight takes place? September?
I'm going to say September. Yeah, probably September, October.
Yeah, maybe UFC 150?
Potentially.
Yeah, we could see that. Anyways, yeah, let's go. Okay, let's go ahead and go to Rashad Evans. Ryan, who do you think Rashad Evans should fight next?
You know, this is difficult for me. I say he gets Lyoto Machida in the rematch.
Okay.
Just because, obviously, Machida hasn't fought since losing to Jones. I haven't heard of Machida getting a fight yet.
No, I don't think they've announced one yet.
And I think it makes sense for Evans for Machida. I think two top five or six guys, two both Jones kind of rejects that get, you know, guys that Jones beat pretty handily. But I think Rashad Evans gets Lyoto Machida. What about you?
I would have to agree. I think I was gonna say Machida as well. Another person that you could potentially put him against is Gustafsson. If you want to say
that'd be a huge step up in competition.
Gustafsson wins this. And then maybe fights the winner of Shogun and whoever Shogun fights next.
See, I was going to, if you want to go over to Gustafsson, I was going to say Gustafsson fights Shogun.
And that, yeah, so those, you maybe have a little tournament, per se, of
the interesting
of those
thing
four.
Is three of the four have already lost to John Jones.
Exactly, so what do
so
you do?
So what happens if Shogun beats Gustafsson?
Move him up to heavyweight. Move Jones up to heavyweight. Although I think Jones wants to move up to heavyweight more than Dana wants Jones to move up to heavyweight.
Well, I think Dana knows that heavyweight's very dangerous for Jones.
Well, he came into the fight at 224.
Yeah, the UFC is still trying to build Jones up. They're trying to make Jones the face of the UFC.
Yeah,
and you know he needs to keep winning.
Exactly.
And I think he can beat pretty much everybody at 205. And I think I would agree with you. Alexander Gustafsson probably has the best chance. And honestly, I think if Gustafsson faces Shogun and Gustafsson beats Shogun, I think it's Gustafsson-Jones early 2013 or late 2012.
Which, I would love that fight.
Yeah, no, that'd be a great fight.
I think you should do prime time for that fight.
I just think Dan Henderson's not going to be able to get Jones to the ground, and I think he's – I don't think he's –
Man, if he lands, if one he of lands, those, if he lands dry, a right hand,
like a Michael Bisping kind of
punch. Oh my gosh, I'd probably give Dan Henderson a 20% chance of winning.
Yeah, I put it around 20. Maybe I'd probably go like 20-25.
But if there's one man you cannot bet against, it's Dan Henderson. It's hard to think that he would be dominated.
All right, so let's move on. Let's go to your boy Travis Brown. You were clamoring for Travis Brown to get the Cain fight.
I do not get why they did not put Travis Brown said he would be willing to fight in May, said he's ready to go. He literally did not get touched against Chad Griggs. Chad Griggs did not touch him at all, unless you count getting choked out by Travis Brown touching him.
Did they touch fists to start the fight?
I believe that's the only time that Chad Griggs landed a forward hand motion against Brown. you can't call that a punch. It's a forward hand motion. That's the only time that he connected with anything. And I thought they should have put Travis Brown. Maybe you can say it's a big step in competition, but Chad Griggs was coming off an impressive Strikeforce career.
Yeah.
And so I think Brown Velasquez made sense.
Brown's 13-0-1. He's guy's undefeated.
Exactly. And then but they ended up giving Bigfoot Silva the Cain fight, and then
we'll discuss a little bit later.
Yeah, so they shifted 146 around. Travis Brown, I think now you give him, I'm trying to think of 146 every single.
I'll say mine right now. I say you give him Rothwell.
Give him Rothwell? Yeah, okay.
I think Rothwell Brown.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. I agree 100%.
Wow.
You should probably never give me that. For listeners, he gave a really eager, yeah, man, I'm starting.
I was excited. You agree?
I'm a little worried. How about I give this next, my pick next for the next fighter, and so you can either agree with me or disagree with
me. Okay, so who's
next? Let's do Rory McDonald next.
All right.
Rory McDonald, you got to think he's got to get a top five welterweight. I give him a top five. I give him winner of Koscheck Hendricks, or maybe loser. Actually, loser of Koscheck Hendricks.
I give him winner.
Really?
Yeah.
That much already?
Yeah. I give him winner of Koscheck Hendricks, and then I give that winner the winner of Ellenberger Kampman, and the timing should work out enough.
Do you think how far away do you think Rory is from a title shot?
Two fights.
Yeah, I agree.
Now the interesting thing is, if he
finishes two more guys like he did tonight, or even just not even finishes but controls the entire fight, oh yeah, I think he deserves a title shot. But then again, he's not going to fight GSP.
Yeah, and that was kind of news that kind of broke out of Atlanta. GSP was working Rory McDonald's corner, and there were two.
That was awesome though. Seeing GSP hold the ice bucket for it, man.
That was cool.
What a good teammate.
That's a multimillionaire. He's holding the ice bucket for Rory McDonald.
He's gotten Athlete of the Year multiple times in Canada, right?
Oh yeah.
That's the Athlete of the Year in Canada holding your ice bucket for you. What a good teammate.
Oh, yeah. So Roy McDonald says he'll move up to middleweight before he fights GSP, and then GSP says he'll never fight Roy McDonald. And the title of the article on MMAJunkie.com was GSP Eyes Move to Middleweight. So
People have been clamoring for GSP to move up to heavyweight. Or not heavyweight, excuse me, middleweight. You know what? Anybody can do it,
it's
GSP.
That Anderson Silva fight.
Yeah, so I could see GSP moving up to middleweight. That's been discussed for a while. So I mean, hopefully, I think these two don't want to have the same thing that happened to Rashad and Jones happen to them.
Yeah, the last guy that I want to talk about, my boy Michael McDonald. I give Michael McDonald Brad Pickett. He beat Demacio Page at UFC on Fuel TV 2.
Yeah,
Pickett's a veteran, former WC guy.
I would like that. Yeah, or I think you either. Maybe give him. I'm just trying to think of bantamweights.
I was looking at the.
Because so many bantamweights drop down to flyweight.
Well, Renan Barro is fighting Ivan Menjivar at 148.
Yeah, so I think Renan's going to storm through him too.
Yeah, and Scott Jorgensen's fighting as well.
So, yeah, okay, Brad Pickett, that makes sense. So, both are on the same card.
Personally,
just fought in Stockholm.
Yeah, personally, I think Michael McDonald's a little above Brad Pickett. I think he should be fighting Scott Jorgensen or Renan Barro. But both guys
Brad
are
Pickett's,
taken.
Brad Pickett's an impressive fighter. Brad Pickett will bring it.
Brad Pickett just won fight of the night, too.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, he'll bring it. Anyways, so what's next?
Next, we're going to have some fight announcements. So you kind of touched on them earlier. We just want to get kind of both of our opinions. There was a major shakeup. Obviously, we touched on Alistair Overeem two shows ago. And so it was announced this week that Frank Mir will step in and challenge Junior Dos Santos for the heavyweight championship. And it will be Antonio Bigfoot Silva that will fight Cain Velasquez in the co-main event.
And then you just told me about this. I didn't know until we got into the studio.
It was Gabriel Gonzaga versus Roy Big Country Nelson. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, sorry. Were you saying Gabriel Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, put me to sleep.
So first, let's go from the top down.
What do you think? No, let's go from the bottom. Let's start with Gonzaga, get that out of the way, and so we can talk about the exciting stuff later.
Okay, well.
Gonzaga, Roy Nelson is going to be a...
Two guys that Junior Dos Santos beat.
Two guys that Dos Santos dominated. And he knocked Gonzaga out cold.
Yeah, no, he knocked him out cold. Then he beat Nelson by decision, right?
Yeah, Roy Nelson was a punching bag for three rounds against Dos Santos. Yeah. So that fight, I think, is kind of irrelevant. And then next you have Bigfoot Silva versus Kane, which I presume is a contender bout.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, because I think if Overeem is denied a license, and actually Overeem's hearing's on Tuesday.
Then this has to be
April 24th.
Now, if it's not, if Overeem gets somehow out of this.
If he gets a license.
If the Nevada State Athletic Commission somehow is favorable to Overeem, mm-hmm. you maybe give Overeem the winner of this. And then you have that winner.
Well, I would give Overeem the winner of Mir Dos Santos.
Okay.
Just straight up. But I have a feeling Overeem is going to be suspended for a year.
Yeah.
Or not be able to. Basically, if he's denied his license in Nevada, he can't reapply for a year.
Yeah, so...
And he's not going to get a license anywhere else.
No, because usually...
Except if he fights overseas.
No, the athletic commissions will respect the other states.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, okay, I agree. So you have, depending on Overeem, you have a potential contender bout in this next... Velasquez versus Bigfoot. And then the big one, Frank Mir versus Dos Santos.
To me, this was the only real logical choice.
It was the only one you can do because Dos Santos had knocked out all the other contenders.
Yeah, he beat Verdum. I don't think Mark Hunt was ever really considered.
Although, how awesome would that have been?
Knocked out Cain Velasquez. Man,
that would have been an underdog story.
It would, of course, it would have been an underdog story.
I would have been
Junior
excited
Dos Santos would have destroyed Mark Hunt.
And what do you think he's going to do to Frank Mir?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I don't like Mir's chances, but Frank Mir was the most deserving candidate.
Yeah, I mean.
You can't give it to Cain Velasquez. He just got put to sleep by Junior Dos Santos. You can't give it to Fabricio Verdum. He got knocked out, a highlight reel knockout.
Yep.
And I mean, there's nobody else you can really put on there. So that's 146. I think that card's lost a lot of luster. I think when it was first announced, you had Mir, Kane, you had the heavyweight championship, Overeem Dos Santos, probably the biggest heavyweight fight in the UFC history. And now it's like, well, Mir, Dos Santos.
I will be shocked if Dos Santos doesn't knock Mir out.
Yeah.
I will be absolutely shocked. Mir has probably had one of the worst three-fight win streaks I've ever seen in the UFC. First, he knocks out Krokop with 50 seconds left in the third round with a knee. And it was more so, it looked like Krokop fell on his knee. Like, he dropped in his face, just happened to land on Mir's knee, and then he got knocked out. Both looked incredibly out of shape in that fight. And then he went to decision with Roy Nelson, and Dana White was very critical of that fight afterwards, saying both looked out of shape. That's when he wanted Roy Nelson to start losing weight, and that was an awful fight. And then he almost at one point gets knocked out by Minotauro Nogueira, and then ends up surprising everybody with a submission with a snapping Minotauro's arm. So, yeah, he's on a three-fight win streak, but I will be absolutely shocked if he does not get knocked out by Dos Santos.
I agree. I think he's got a puncher's. He got a puncher's chance.
I think he has more of a submissioner's chance. I think that's the only way he wins is if he catches Dos Santos in like a leg lock or a toe grab or something like that, like something like he did to maybe a knee bar like he did to Brock Lesnar. I think that's the only way he wins.
All right, so we're pushing around here on the Devil's Cage. By the way, follow us on Twitter. At the Devil's Cage, no apostrophe.
Just at the Devil's Cage. And subscribe to us on iTunes. If you're listening to us on Podomatic, go to iTunes and subscribe to us on iTunes.
You just search the Devil's Cage with an apostrophe. You click on podcasts on your left-hand side, and we are there.
We are on iTunes. We're the only Sun Devil Sports Night podcast on iTunes.
We are the only Sun Devil Sports Night podcast.
Look at us. We're official.
On iTunes. So we're going to move on now to our main event of the podcast. Building up, we're going to give you our pound-for-pound rankings.
Yeah, we're going to do a little debate. What do you want to call this? Do you want to call this anything?
Nope.
The face-off.
The face-off?
No, that's hockey.
How about counter-punch like the UFC did with Jones Evans?
Counter-kicked.
Counter-submission.
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 No, this is just going to be a little debate segment. It's not even going to be a really debate because we both kind of have similar... I'll be surprised if there's a lot of variation.
And it's really
between
hard to debate pound for pound rankings.
Yeah, pound for pound.
We tried to after the fight, and it's kind of
such
difficult.
What's the word I'm looking for? In the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
There's so many
subjective.
Different things. So yeah, that's it. Subjective. That's what I'm looking for. It's so subjective, and one person that hates pound for pound is Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen hates pound for pound.
Chael Sonnen said that Dan Henderson should be the pound for pound.
Well, I mean,
if you look
if you look at Dan Henderson, goes down to 185, fights at 185 pretty successfully, only loses to Jake Shields. And then
goes up to light heavyweight, wins the light heavyweight championship in Strikeforce.
And then knocks out Fedor at heavyweight.
Knocks out Fedor. He was the former Pride champion.
So if you want to give pound for pound, Dan Henderson's
let's
truly
just say
pound
Dan
for pound.
Henderson does make an appearance in my pound for pound.
Okay, yeah. So as do mine. All right, let's give let's go starting from the top down. We'll each give 10 and then 9 and so on. So who is your 10 in pound for pound?
Number 10 is Carlos Condit.
Carlos Condit, I like it.
The UFC interim welterweight champion.
I was thinking about Condit, putting Condit in.
I think Condit's on a tear right now, and I think he's out there with GSP. I think him GSP is going to be a great fight.
Oh man, Condit, my 10 is Joseph Benavidez. He edged out Carlos Condit for me.
Joseph Benavidez.
I think he is. I wanted to put a flyweight in there. I was thinking about either putting Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse is also, you can consider him pound for pound. I mean, he goes up to 135, fairly successful, only losing to Dominic Cruz in the UFC. Drops down to 125, has an awesome fight with Ian McCall. But Joseph Benavidez looked the most impressive out of any of the flyweights in the tournament, so I put Benavidez in there at 10.
I put Condit at 10. He's got one loss since 2006. That was a split decision loss to Martin Kampman.
Yeah.
In his UFC debut. He's won 5 fights in a row, beating Ellenberger, McDonald, Hardy, Dong Hong
Kim,
and
Nick Diaz. I really feel bad for leaving Condit out of my 10.
How about that? Ellenberger, McDonald, Hardy, Dong Hong Kim, and Nick Diaz. That's
I agree.
Last 5 fights.
I really do feel bad for leaving Condit out.
Knockout of the night twice, fight of the night once against McDonald, so...
All right, who's your 9?
Number 9, I have Frankie Edgar.
Frankie Edgar.
Two wins over the lightweight legend, BJ Penn.
My favorite fighter of all time.
Two wins. I guess you can say a questionable decision loss against Benson Henderson. I think he lost the fight. But
man. Benson won.
I completely agree, but some people, including Dana White, scored it for Edgar, right?
No, but Fight Metric science proved it was
so number
Benson.
9, I have Frankie Edgar. He's got you know, his fights with Gray Maynard, two wins over BJ Penn. He's a veteran lightweight, and I think Frankie Edgar is 9. Put him right above Condit at number 9. Go ahead, Blaine.
All right, my number 9, Gilbert Melendez. Another lightweight. His last loss was in 2008 to Josh Thompson. After that, he's gone on a 6-fight win streak, including Shinya Aoki, and he got revenge on the two guys that beat him previously. So I put Gilbert Melendez in there. Gilbert Melendez has looked dominant, and he's looked really impressive in Strikeforce. I mean, yeah, you can say, I mean, how good is the Strikeforce competition compared to UFC competition? But Gilbert Melendez, when he goes in there, he looks like he could be very successful in the UFC as well.
I've seen Junior Dos Santos, Gilbert Melendez higher than 8, so or 9, so it's a solid choice. I think Gilbert Melendez is definitely pound for pound.
Okay. All right, my number 8, Dan Henderson.
Wow.
I have 8, Dan Henderson, truly a pound-for-pound MMA legend. I think if you can argue who has the most heart out of any UFC competitor, it's hard not to say Dan Henderson, because he brings it every fight, never intimidated, and he's been successful in every weight division he's gone to.
Oh, I completely agree. I have Dan Henderson high, let's just say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're still waiting on your Dan Henderson.
Number 8, I have the Dominator, Dominic Cruz.
Okay, yeah.
His last loss came in his WC debut to Uriah Faber. Since then, he's got a win over Ian McCall, two wins over your boy Joseph Benavidez, win over Scott Jorgensen, Uriah Faber, your boy Mighty Mouse, looked very impressive. Dominic Cruz, you can say, is the most exciting, non-exciting fighter. His last 4 fights have gone to decision. 5 of his last 6 have gone to decision. So he's not a guy that has finishing power. His last knockout was in March of 2010 over Brian Bowles. But
he's very technical.
I put Dominic Cruz in there.
Dominic Cruz.
Definitely put Dominic Cruz.
Dominic Cruz is at 6 for me. Ooh. That's my next pick. It's Dominic Cruz at six.
What about seven?
That's what it is. Dan Henderson was at seven.
Dan Henderson was at eight.
Ah, damn it.
You messed it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, no, I completely mixed up the numbers. Yeah, Cruz is my seven.
Okay, so Cruz is seven. Do you have to?
Yeah, Cruz is seven.
Okay.
Who's your seven?
Junior Dos Santos.
Junior Dos Santos. I don't see why people have Dos Santos low on his pound for pound. He is.
I just feel like he's shown the least out of any UFC champion. He doesn't have a title defense. I think it was an impressive knockout against Cain Velasquez.
But look who he tore through to get. I mean.
Yeah. Shane Carwin, Roy Nelson, Gabriel Gonzaga. Two of those three you don't like.
Fabricio Verdum,
okay.
Man, he's gone through a string of impressive heavyweights to get the title.
He definitely has. I think if he would have beaten over him, I think he potentially put him top five.
Oh, I think if he beats Odor over him, it's hard to not say he's top three. Seeing as GSP is out, it's hard not to put him three.
I think people forget everything GSP's done.
Oh,
Junior
yeah,
Santos
I completely
has,
agree.
Has only been champion for a short amount of time. I think he's going to have the potential to be up there, but
yeah. His potential is high. All right, who is your six?
Okay, number six, I have Benson Henderson.
That's strange. So do I.
The UFC lightweight champion, Benson Henderson, number
Both
six.
Both of us, a consensus number six, Benson Henderson. Man, I don't think he is a classy guy.
Oh, my God. He's
class act.
Mm-hmm. Trains out here in Glendale.
We went and met him. Really nice guy. So if by some means Benson Henderson listens to this, Benson, we love you here at the Devil's Cage.
Absolute
You're always welcome act. Here. We need, man, we, man, that would be awesome if we can get him in studio sometime before his next fight.
That'd be awesome.
All right. So consensus number six.
All right. Who was your number five?
Junior Dos Santos, number five. I think that he has looked incredibly impressive in his UFC run. And I take great pride in calling him being UFC champion when he first entered into the UFC. When I saw his first knockout in the UFC, I told my brother, I said, Troy, Junior Dos Santos will be champion one day. And you know what? He went on there and got it. Who is your five?
Number five, Dan Henderson.
Man, Hendo.
Hendo number
the
five.
H bomb at five.
You just look at his last wins. He's got wins over Shogun, Fedor Emelianenko. He won the Strikeforce Light Heavyweight Championship. He's got one over Bisping.
I wonder
Rich
if listeners
Franklin.
Can hear your phone ringing right now.
Yeah.
Do you want to?
No.
Who is that?
Josh Nishon.
Oh, yeah. He can wait. We're
yeah. Awesome. He's got wins over Vanderlei Vitor Belfort. He's a former Pride champion, former UFC, or not a UFC champion, former Strikeforce champion. Like you said, he beat Fedor at a heavyweight bout. There's not much Dan Henderson can't do. And I think over his career, I think he's earned a top 5 pound.
I think he's a future Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now we're getting into the big boys. Number four.
You're not gonna like number four for me.
Really?
Jose Aldo.
Jose Aldo at number four.
Jose Aldo, you're the king of the Jose Aldo fan club.
I run and operate the Jose Aldo fan club. Well, I was a huge WEC fan, and man, he was the guy in the WEC. So yeah, I mean, I've been on the bandwagon for Jose Aldo.
I just think when you look at my top three. And who they have beaten over their career, and who Jose Aldo's beaten over his career.
Well, it's hard to compare the opponents.
I understand that, but that's what I look at. Who have you beaten? I understand the UFC featherweight division's not as good as light heavyweight, or Jose Aldo hasn't been around as long as Anderson Silva or GSP. But and that's why I have him four.
It's hard to compare.
The best guy he's fought was.
It's hard to compare the talent relative to their weight classes because I mean, Anderson Silva has gone through this incredible tear. Jones has gone through this incredible tear, so has GSP. But you got to say, is there a reason that these guys are dominating the opponents they're facing? Does that mean they're not as good as people think they are? Because, I mean, if you look at the light heavyweight division before Jones, man, that belt was in and out of the hands of the champion every other fight.
It was also the deepest division in the UFC, and Jones is pretty much clearing it out.
That's subjective.
Right.
You can say.
Really?
I definitely think so. Because I mean, now you look at it, and it's like the same fighters are still there.
Yeah.
But we don't think it's the deepest anymore.
And they've all lost to Jones. I think lightweight's the deepest.
Well, yeah,
now.
We agree on that. It's just I think it's incredibly subjective to compare the competition that Jose fights to compare to, like, if you look at Anderson, tallest, latest, Damian Maia, Patrick Cote, James Irvin, I mean, can you say those guys are elite talents?
Yeah,
maybe. At the time they fight Anderson, you think, all right, this guy's an elite guy, he's a contender. But then Anderson storms through him, and so you're like, all right, he sucks.
I think that shows how good Anderson is.
Maybe, but maybe Jose Aldo is just making these guys in the featherweight look awful. Well, maybe that shows how good he is. That's why I think it's impossible to compare the talent level.
I don't know how good Jose Aldo's looked in the UFC. He had a decision over Mark Kamenik, who's now lost three fights in a row.
Dominated. He won four rounds of that fight and dominated.
Kenny Florian. He couldn't finish Kenny Florian at 145.
Man, he whooped Ken Flo's butt for five rounds.
I understand that, but you yourself on Saturday said you value finishes.
I do. And
now, he did finish Chad Mendes. That was a great knockout.
Finished Chad Mendes. And then you also look in the WEC, when WEC was the place to be for the lighter weight classes. And he looked untouchable. He made Uriah Faber he didn't finish him. I know he didn't finish him, but he made it where they had to carry Uriah out of the cage. Maybe you can testify to Uriah Faber's heart in that. And then he also, man, Cub Swanson. People thought Cub Swanson's a good, really talented guy. Cub Swanson lasted 9 seconds against Jose Aldo.
8 seconds.
I thought the official time's 9.
On Wikipedia, it says 8.
Okay, according to Wikipedia, 8 seconds. And then he met both of Jose Aldo's knees in 8 seconds.
Oof.
Vicious knockout.
All right.
So I think it's hard to compare these two guys.
Who's your number four?
Number four, solely based on the time that he spent out of the octagon, I have so much respect for this guy. GSP is my number four, based on that he's been gone so long. And I know he is unbelievably talented. There's not one part of his game that lacks skill. But just based on purely that he hasn't fought in a long time, that's why I have him at 4.
I have GSP at 3.
Yeah.
I think, you know, went over Jake Shields. I mean, Jake Shields, when he fought GSP, you're talking about the former Strikeforce middleweight champion on a huge winning streak.
Yeah, Jake Shields is not a bad fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, yeah, he maybe won a – didn't he win a round or win a couple rounds against –
I think so.
The judges gave him a couple rounds, I think.
I think so.
And I agree. GSP's 3.
Two wins over BJ Penn. So he defended his last loss against Matt Serra. So I give it to GSP. Who's your number 3?
It's Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo's 3 for me. I think he will dominate the lighter weight classes for the next – 4 or 5 years.
I think we both want to see Jose Aldo at 155.
Eventually, that's where he has to go because he'll clear out. I mean, what the next? They haven't announced his next fight, have they?
It's potentially going to be Hatsu Hiyoki or the winner of the Korean Zombie and Dustin Poirier.
Which all three of those guys, I would be surprised if Jose Aldo didn't finish them.
I'd be surprised if they made it out of the first round.
And then you and I guess have the same 2-1, right?
Yeah, Jones 2, Silva 1.
And that, I mean, right now you can't even debate that. That's a consensus 1-2. Anderson Silva hasn't lost since, what, 2006?
Let me check that for you.
I'm pretty sure the last loss was 2006, the illegal upkick to Yushin Okami, right?
January of 2006.
Yep. The legal upkick to Yushin Okami. So that, I mean, even then, that's not really a loss. I mean, if you think about it, Jones has a loss too. But
his last official loss was Royo Chonin. He got submitted with the flying heel hook.
Yeah, flying. Yeah,
in Pride.
Anderson Silva has done something in the sport that nobody could even think about doing. Maybe Jones, you could say, maybe can go on this run, but it's going to be hard now because the talent level is getting so much better than it was when Anderson was going through his heyday. But until Anderson Silva loses or retires, he's
going to be
one.
Number one. I mean, Jones could – I don't think there's anything Jones could do to take the top spot.
No. I mean, Dana White thinks Anderson Silva is the greatest fighter, regardless of boxing, wrestling, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu, and on the planet, which I agree with. I think Anderson Silva is the most dangerous man on the planet.
Yeah, probably.
So that's it. So we got – I'll give my rundown and then you give yours.
Okay.
10, Benavidez. 9, Melendez. 8, Dan Henderson. 7, Dominic Cruz. 6, Benson Henderson. 5, Junior Dos Santos. 4, George St. Pierre. 3, Jose Aldo Jr. 2, John Bones Jones. And 1, Anderson the Spider Silva.
I've got Carlos Condit 10, Frankie Edgar 9, Dominic Cruz 8, Junior Dos Santos 7, Benson Smooth Henderson 6, Dan Henderson 5, Jose Aldo 4, George St. Pierre 3, John Jones 2, and the Spider Silva number 1.
Well, I think that's going to do it.
So
that rounds out the well, for the last episode of the semester until we go to summer. We're going to try to keep on doing episodes of the, during the summer. Maybe every other week. Not so frequently. We're gonna, but we're still gonna try to get it done in the summer.
We'll definitely have some UFC 146 coverage. We'll have a preview breakdown for that fight.
We'll probably cover the main cards for all 10 listeners, and
most of that being your family.
Most of it being my family. Your family doesn't even listen to it.
Do you want to do any shout outs to Troy? Troy Ferguson.
Troy, we love you, dude. He'll be watching the fight with me.
Yeah,
I'll be watching fights with Troy this summer. My for listeners who don't know who Troy is, Troy's my brother. And so we'll be covering the main fights this summer. And if there's any breaking news, what would you see as breaking news? Hector Lombard beats Anderson Silva.
Chael Sonnen's out.
Chael Sonnen's out. Hector Lombard's in. Beats Anderson Silva. We'll do a show about
we'll
that.
We'll probably do a show about that.
So
we'll get Hector Lombard on the show.
Yeah, we'll try to get Hector Lombard in the studio.
We'll
right?
We'll have to have a Spanish translator. I'll have my Spanish teacher.
No, we take Spanish. I'm in Spanish. I'll be in 10. I just did 101 and
I just did 102.
I took some Spanish in high school, so we'll talk to Hector. Yeah.
Anyways, say hola.
That's going to do it for myself, Blaine Ferguson, and for Ryan Bafalukas on the Devil's Cage. Should I say it?
Why not?
Keep fighting.